I open our cancer screening conversation with what it now means to me to take ownership of my health. To get comfortable in the driver's seat while not only pursuing one's options, but staying ahead of the game with early detection. I had a conversation earlier today with another one of our guests, and we hit a point where we started talking about the way that the public looks at our health, and those outside of the medical community, and just our general relationship with what our records look like, and family history, genetics, and things of that nature, and how all of that plays into our aversion to want to participate in research or even want to go to the doctor, any of that. And one of the conclusions that we reached as a part of that conversation was how it's important for us to look at our health as our health, like it belongs to us, like it's something that we not necessarily just have to protect, but we have the power to direct. Early detection has never meant more to me than it does today, based on some of these conversations we've had so far. Cancer is always, because I most recently was made aware of it existing in our family. My grandmother passed from cancer a couple of years ago. And until then, it was just like, well, that's not something I even need to worry about until I started getting emails from AARP. Then I worried about cancer. I started getting emails from AARP last year. So when I turned 45. So it's like, but for a long time, it's like, that's, I'll worry about that later. But to hear that the rate of survival and successfully removing cancer is so much higher, exponentially higher, the earlier you catch it. It's really, really important that people understand that and to hear that. A word that's suddenly become one of my favorite words to hear is preventable. We talked about it a lot on our episodes on Ask Black Doctor, some of the mitigating factors directly related to the spread of COVID. And then you mentioned it again today as we're talking about HPV and, of course, advancements in the technology used to fight cancer. Preventable, preventable, preventable. I love hearing that. It screams hope. It really does. And in order for us to be able to take advantage of these advancements and be a part of the solution to a problem that we're facing at a higher degree, we just got to get involved, and we have to continue to have conversations like this with each other and amongst members of our community. Dr. Roca gives us some insight in which cancers are easiest to detect, followed by Dr. Sudanan updating us on the recent data around cancer showing up in age groups that are younger than what we've seen in the past. Are there screens and screening for all the types of cancer that exists right now?
I wish that was the case. Like I said, I mentioned, I think we talked about breast cancer and colon cancer and cervical cancer. Those are the three probably that we have the most robust follow-up on. I think we're getting to lung cancer at this point because that's another big menace. But unfortunately, there are other cancers, things like pancreas cancer, where we don't have a good screening mechanism. Part of that problem is these organs are deep. You don't have access to them. And so that's where we're trying to see if there's a way to perhaps detect these cancers with a blood test.
So we are seeing an increasing trend of younger people getting diagnosed with colorectal cancer.
Now, is that because younger people are getting tested? Is there an increase in testing, or is it?
No, I mean, it's a good, thing to be mindful of. It's not because right now, until last year or so, the guidelines was that if you are younger than 50, you don't get colonoscopy. But these patients younger than 50 were presenting to the hospital, like otherwise healthy adults are presenting to the hospital, because they have cancer and because they have symptoms. So it's not because of increased diagnosis, but we don't know why, a disease that was prevalent or that was first diagnosed in 65 or 70-year-olds is now slowly, the trend is increasing for younger than 50. Wow. Particularly, I would say, in African-American communities, I think the incidence, that is the number of cases, is also increasing, but they're also more lethal. They're like maybe 20% or 30% more deadly in African-American communities.
Okay.
So one of the, you know, like, it's not just my lab, a number of labs are trying to see, A, why is this incidence increasing, and why is it particularly affecting people of color disproportionately? And we don't have a good answer for that yet. So it's not, you know, some things we can say is it's definitely not something which is simple. It's not just like, oh, you know what, maybe there is some specific radiation or some specific environmental cause. It's not like smoking, for example, where you can say, yeah, smoking, lung cancer incidence, and those two are tightly correlated. So it could be a combination of different things. It could be, you know, genetic factors that play with the diet, that play with lack of access to healthcare and some reluctance to go to the doctor.
Right, a history.
There's a barrier for early detection, right? Like colonoscopy, for example, it's a really good screening test. But then, you know, the number of people who get colonoscopy is not as high as we would like to.
Dr. O'Hablum gives us some early screening options, followed by Sudanan answering the question of just how early and often that we should be going for screenings.
We have to find a way to allow people to know that there is this non-invasive test now. Just submit the stool sample every year. Let's at least do that.
Yeah.
At a minimum. There's also CAT scans.
Yes.
CAT scans that can be done every 5 years as well. If you don't want to submit the stool sample, or you could submit the stool sample and do other sorts of CAT scans or do other sorts of procedures referred to as a sigmoidoscopy instead of a colonoscopy, which doesn't go through the entire extent of the intestinal system.
That's why I asked, how early should people be going for screenings? Because if this is just something that we just say, hey, you know, it's your 40th birthday, it's your 42nd birthday, just go get it out the way. Well, why wait until you feel like something is wrong before you go for a screening?
Absolutely. I'm as guilty as anybody else and not liking to go to the doctor, or like, you know, it's hard to schedule, it's not always accessible, etc. But I think, you know, the short-term pain of getting preventive health care is worth the long-term gain in a situation like cancer. It's a serious disease. Yeah. And again, you know, hopefully we'll have better diagnostic tests where you can substitute for colonoscopy, but we're not there yet.
Yeah.
So at least until, you know, we have something, and it's recommended once every 10 years. So it's not like something you need to do every year, for example.
Okay.
Unless you have a family history and then there's every 5 years. But even that is every 5 years. It's not like every year.
Dr. Evans talks a little bit about HPV and the importance of getting the vaccine. In an effort to best protect our children, he emphasizes the importance of overcoming our barriers to receiving care.
You know, part of the approach to prevention for cancer is not just getting the vaccines, but also doing screening. So for women, you know, really, there are guidelines about getting a cervical cancer screening, you know, starting at age 21, or just basically, you know, age of first sexual activity. And then again, sort of in your 30s and so forth, you would get, you know, additional screenings as things go along, and different variations based on what HPVs come up on your pap smear.
Right.
The bad thing about HPV for many women, though, is that, and specifically cervical cancer, is that it may not cause any symptoms. And so for a lot of folks, they may not know they have symptoms, or they may have things like, you know, vaginal bleeding or pain with sex, and people need to just sort of brush it off as just something else when it is indeed something more serious. So, you know, even if you've gotten the vaccine, or, you know, you've grown up, you're young enough and gotten the vaccine, it's still recommended that people go for their routine cervical cancer screenings. We also see things like, just to give full context to, we also see, as I said, head and neck cancers, things from, you know, oral sex. We also see anal cancer as a cause of an HPV infection.
Okay.
And so these are all things, again, that are sort of the ones, most of the ones that cause cancer are covered in the, or the most serious ones that cause cancer are covered in the vaccine. But again, it's still important to go through the screenings.
Okay.
You know, I think, you know, this is something that, especially when we talk about cancers and specifically things like cervical cancers, this is something we can do to protect our kids. You know, I think all of us as parents want to protect our kids and protect them early. And, you know, getting them a vaccine that you know can protect them later in life from getting cervical cancer is such a great thing. I think we also have to recognize the seriousness of the threat to our community. Even though Black women have sort of are the second highest risk group for cervical cancer, we probably have one of the highest mortalities.
Mm.
And so, you know, the impact on us is sort of multiplied times many fold.
Yeah.
In terms of just the poor outcomes. And of course, comes back to things that you mentioned, DJ Ambush, about sort of all the structural barriers of getting access to care, getting access to screening, not trusting medical community, all the things that sort of lead people not to come in to get care in the first place.
Subscribe so you don't miss an episode of Finding Hope, Cancer Screening is a Future, available everywhere you listen to podcasts. Presented by OHSU Knight Cancer Institute. For more information on the OHSU Knight Cancer Institute, visit www.ohsu.edu/Knight-Cancer-Institute. And for more details on the Pathfinder 2 study, including eligibility requirements, visit www.ohsu.edu/Pathfinder-study.